Please turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs and chapter 28. The book of Proverbs just after the Psalms. We have Psalms and then Proverbs. And Proverbs chapter 28. And verse 26. Proverbs 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And our subject this morning is learning to walk wisely. Learning to walk wisely. Now we come to these very challenging and very edifying words in the book of Proverbs. And this chapter in the book essentially is teaching us something very valuable. It teaches us how the unrighteous will not prosper, but the way of the righteous will be blessed. The way of the righteous, those who do good in the sight of the Lord, well, their ways will be blessed. Their ways will lead to great profit. And, well, for example, we could just look at the verse that follows, verse 26, verse 27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. In other words, those who look for the needs of others, particularly those who have less than themselves, those who do the right things, who walk righteously, they will be blessed. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. But by contrast, he that hideth his eyes, he who is selfish, everything that I have is for me, I'm not giving to anybody else, he who walks unrighteously, well, look what happens to him. He that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. So this is what this chapter is highlighting. Blessings for those who do the right things, who walk righteously in the sight of God. But those who do not and choose the other way, well, they will not prosper. They will not profit themselves or anybody else. So that's the context, really, in this chapter. And so with this context in mind, we look at verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Now, almost immediately when we read these words, we note how very different this is to the teaching of the world, and particularly the teaching of the society in which we live. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Well, that's not what the world teaches us now. The world teaches us that you are to follow your heart. Follow your heart. Listen to your heart in everything that you do. That's the way to happiness. That's the way to peace. What does your heart say that you should do? Go with it. If your heart feels right about a certain thing, go with it. And this is the message we see in the media, in the movies, so many Disney movies. Follow your heart. What does your heart say? That's the great theme of all these things that are shown to children. All the pop songs and the pop singers, follow your heart. It's all the same message. It's always the right way. That's what people say. If you follow your heart, you can never go wrong. It's the right way. That's the way of the media. That's what we hear constantly around us. But it's very different to what we see in the Word of God. It's the exact opposite. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. You don't hear many pop singers singing that. You don't see many Disney films saying that. This is the Word of God. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Well, then, of course, we have to ask the question, well, why is this? Why is somebody who trusts in his own heart a fool? Well, in order to answer this, we have to consider the state of man himself, the state of man, of mankind. And, well, we have to question his nature. If it were the case that all of us, every single man, woman, and child in this world, if it were the case that all of us were pure people and holy people and honest people, well, if that was the case, that we were all blameless, well, then, of course, we could trust our hearts. If we were all wonderful people and we never lied and never did anything wrong, well, then, of course, there would be a good case for trusting your heart because we're all good people. But, of course, we know that's not the case. And the scriptures say that is not the case. We're not all good people. The human race, according to the scriptures, and this is true, of course, is a fallen race. We are a corrupted race. That is mankind. We are corrupt in our nature, and we all know this. Man's intentions are not always good. Man's ways are not always honorable. His words are not always true. Man is not always to be trusted. We know this. So therefore, to trust in the heart of man is a foolish thing. This is not anything that we need to come into a church to hear. We know this almost instinctively. We don't trust everybody that we meet. Of course not. We teach our children never to talk to strangers, for example. Why do we do that? Because you can't just trust everybody. You can't trust strangers. We know what people are like. We know what their nature is like. Don't talk to strangers, we teach our children. What we're essentially teaching them is that the world is not good. People can do evil things. We know this instinctively. We know that we're not all good at heart, like the Disney movies tell us. That we're not essentially good at heart. We know that. So therefore, we don't talk to strangers. We take precautions. We get to know people because we know what we are like. We know what mankind is like. So it's not just the scriptures that teach us this. We know this instinctively. You can't just trust anybody. The world is not like that. Mankind is not like that. The word of God is true. Man is a fallen, a corrupted race. He is not essentially good. But perhaps someone will object and will say, well, Pastor, you're talking about people, you're talking about strangers. Of course, you can't trust strangers. That would be foolish. But my own heart, of course I know my heart. That's not like a stranger. I can trust my own heart. Surely I can do these things. I know my heart and I know that I can trust in it. But the question we have to ask ourselves, of course, is, well, do you really know your heart? Do you know the nature of your heart as you ought to know it? You know, there is, a very well-known verse in Scripture in the book of Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. And it reads, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" That's what the scriptures say about the human heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't really know your own heart. That's what the scriptures tell us. It is deceitful. It's deceitful above all things. Essentially, the scriptures are saying that the heart is the most deceitful thing on earth. Deceitful above all things. That's the only way we can conclude it. The human heart is the most deceitful thing on earth. It cannot be known. You cannot trust it. Well, how does the heart deceive us? Well, we have a very famous example, even in the scriptures. In the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, we know this very well. Simon Peter, his great disciple. Well, when Simon Peter knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was about to go to the cross, he was about to be betrayed, he was about to be sentenced to death and crucified, and the Lord had told him, all the disciples will flee, All the disciples, all of you will forsake me. What did Simon Peter say? Oh, not me. I won't let you down, Lord. I'll be right there. All the other disciples might forsake you, but I will stay with you. Even if it costs me my life, I will stay with you. But what actually happened? He denied the Lord three times. Three times he denied the Lord. What had happened? Well, he had been deceived by his own heart. His heart had told him, Simon Peter, you will stay with the Lord no matter what. That's what his heart was saying to him. But his heart was deceiving him, you see. Deceiving Simon Peter into thinking that he was a more courageous person than he actually was. Into thinking he was a better person than he actually was. That's how the heart deceives us. The heart causes us to think that we are better people than we actually are. That's how the heart deceives us. I was saying this just the other day in a Bible study. When teenagers look at adults and see all the sins that adults get into, and they say to themselves, oh, I'll never do that. That man, that woman, I would never do anything like that in my life. And then lo and behold, when they grow up, they do exactly the same thing. They've been deceived by their own hearts. Their hearts tell them, you're a good person. But that's part of the deception of our hearts. And this is borne up in Scripture. The heart is deceitful above all things. And so we must not be taken in by these things. The heart cannot be trusted. The heart, just to add another point, the heart loves sin. The human heart, it loves sin. And again, we can see this around us. Even children from a very young age, and I've mentioned this several times before, young children, well, they seem to take the most delight in being naughty, in being sinful. They don't laugh hardest when they're behaving themselves. They laugh the most when they're doing things that are naughty, breaking the rules with their friends. That gives them the most joy, the most fun. The human heart, even from a very young age, it loves sin. It loves to break the rules, and it carries through into adult life. We love, as adults, we love letting our hair down, going wild, going on these holidays to far-off places, so we can do things that are perhaps sinful, that we would never normally do. That's what our heart rejoices in. The heart loves sin. It loves sin, and because it loves sin, well, it rebels against God. The human heart, when it hears the word of God, when it hears the gospel, when it hears the call to repentance, to have faith, how does the human heart respond? I don't want it. I'm not interested in your gospel. The human heart is rebellious. I don't want those things. The human heart, perhaps it might be speaking to you even now. The human heart is hardened against this gospel. That's the deception of the human heart. The human heart doesn't want to hear about God. God is holy. God is pure. God hates sin. I don't want to hear about that because my heart loves sin. My heart loves sin. So I don't want anything to do with a holy God who hates sin. That's how the heart responds. And that's how the heart is deceitful. That is why we say, this is why the scriptures say, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. The heart doesn't want anything to do with a holy God and rejects his authority over us. Rejection of God, that is what the heart does. The human heart is sinful. But he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But look at the second part of the verse. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. To trust in the heart, well, it's a foolish thing to do. You're trusting in a sinful heart. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. This is speaking about wisdom. You know, wisdom has more to do with the head than the heart. Wisdom comes from the head. And you know, well, it's always the case, isn't it? There's quite often a battle between the head and the heart. Sometimes you have choices put before you. Your heart wants to do one thing, but your head wants to do another. There's a battle between the two, the head and the heart. And this is the battle that's being highlighted here. The heart normally wants to do things without thinking. The heart doesn't like to think about things. It just likes to launch into certain actions. The heart is impetuous and rebellious, as I've mentioned, but the head is more considered. The head likes to think about things, thinks about the consequences of doing certain things, thinks about whether it's actually right or wrong to do certain things. That's what the head does. The heart doesn't care about whether it's right or wrong. The heart just likes to do things out of blind passion. I don't care whether it's right or wrong. I'm going to do this act. But the head, it puts the brakes on. The head, well, it likes to think about whether it's right or wrong and about the consequences. So, dear friends, we must always engage the head when we think about these things and particularly the things of God. But wisdom is so important. And one more thing to say about wisdom, because this often gets confused. Wisdom is very different to intelligence. Wisdom is not intelligence. Now, you can be a very intelligent person. You can have lots of qualifications and degrees and so on. You're an intelligent person, but that doesn't make you wise. Wisdom is something else. There's intelligence and then there's wisdom. Intelligence you can learn in school, yes. But schools can't teach you wisdom. You can't learn that in school. You can't learn that in college. Wisdom only comes from the Word of God. That's what the scriptures say. To be wise, truly wise, that's only the Word of God that can teach you that. I'm sure you know people who are very intelligent. They've got PhDs coming out of their ears, but they're not wise. They make all the wrong decisions. Their lives are a mess. They don't know what they're doing, and yet they're a doctor, a professor. Yes, they're intelligent, but they're not wise. Wisdom comes from the Word of God. In fact, the Word of God says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, that's where it starts. That's the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord. Now, people always get a bit upset when you start talking about the fear of the Lord. Why should we fear God? Well, very simply, we haven't got time to speak about this at length. But when you fear God, all it means is that you take God seriously. It's something to be taken seriously, not lightly. We spoke about how the Word of God is a fire last week. And we made the application, when you see a fire, you take it seriously. You don't just see a fire and then just walk off, oh, it's nothing. This is a serious thing. So people who take the Word of God seriously and they obey it and they apply it to their lives and they don't just forget about it the moment they leave church, they are wise. They are wise people. And you see that in their lives. They don't make the same mistakes that other people make. They don't have the same regrets that other people have. They don't have to suffer the same consequences of their mistakes and of their sins, because they have the fear of God within them. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, dear friends, this is all very helpful for us, all very relevant. Don't ever say the Old Testament is irrelevant. This is relevant for us today in our lives, but for more than just our lives in this world, of course. This teaching applies to eternity. Now, we read from John chapter 5 earlier, and I won't turn to it, but we read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to a man who he had healed, an invalid man. And this man had been an invalid. He hadn't walked for 38 years. And remember, the Lord said to him, take up thy bed and walk. And this man walked, It was a wonderful, a glorious miracle. But remember what the Lord said to him afterwards. The Lord said to him, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Now I remember when I was seeking the Lord just before I was saved, I read those words and, I was fearful. I was fearful. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. You know, I was somebody who was, perhaps you could call me intelligent. I had university qualifications and degree and so on. But I lacked wisdom, completely lacked wisdom. And I'd made a lot of mistakes. And I was just getting deeper and deeper into sin. And I was doing things that I couldn't reverse. I was committing sins that had great consequences. And I was hurting other people. And I was hurting myself. I was intelligent, but no wisdom at all. And then I read those words, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." And it was like the Lord was saying to me, "Look, if you go the way that you're going, if you continue along that path, there'll be so many more worse things than what you're suffering now in your life. You'll make far greater mistakes. There'll be far harsher consequences in your life. But above all, for all eternity, not just in your life, for all eternity." You know, we all have to think about this. One day we stand before God. We all have to meet the Lord. We all have to give an account of our lives. And well, if all we have done in our lives is sin, well, then something far worse will come upon us on that day. We'll be condemned in the sight of God. We'll be sent to an eternal place of suffering and torment, a place that is far worse than anything we've lived through in our lives. We have to sin no more. We have to turn away from our sin. We have to repent. Otherwise, something worse will come upon us. We will be judged by God, we will be condemned, and we will be sent to hell forever. Sin no more, lest something worse come upon thee. Dear friends, don't ever leave this place thinking that you may continue in sin. Things will only get worse and worse and worse. But look at the last part of this verse before we run out of time. "Whoso walketh wisely in wisdom, he shall be delivered." He shall be delivered. There is a way of escape, in other words. A way of escape. We can escape hell. We can escape judgment. We can be delivered. If we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we know who he is, what he has done on the cross, he took the punishment for my sin. Yes, I have sinned, I know that. But that's why God sent the Lord Jesus Christ. He took upon himself the punishment. God the Father punished him instead of us, so that we may be forgiven, so that we may escape the judgment. So that instead of going to hell, we may escape to heaven forever and ever. We are delivered. That's what it is to be wise. To put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe those things. You know, there is no higher act of wisdom. There's nothing more wise, if I can put it that way, nothing wiser in this world than putting all your faith in Christ. Nothing is wiser than that. Nothing wiser than repenting of your sin. Nothing wiser than even this day. If you want to do something wise this day, even this day, give your life to Christ. Say, "Lord, I've had it with this world. I'm through with this world of sin and sorrow. I'm through with my own heart and listening to it. I don't trust it anymore. I trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust his salvation. That's what I trust in." There is no wiser act than that, no greater act of wisdom than to do these things. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. This is a promise. So we come to the Lord. Dear friends, we're out of time almost, but I bring the exhortation once again. A fool, well, a fool is somebody, as we've just considered, who trusts in his own heart. But let me tell you something else about what a fool is. A fool, in my experience, is somebody who never thinks he's wrong. That's the definition of a fool. Somebody who never thinks he's wrong is a fool. Somebody who always thinks, I'm right about everything, and nobody can teach me anything else. I'm always right. That's a fool. But somebody, on the other hand, who thinks to himself, perhaps this word of God is true. Perhaps what this pastor is preaching is true. I have to find out, because there's so much counting on this. There's eternity counting on this. There's my own soul is counting on this, whether this is right or wrong. I have to investigate. I have to seek the Lord. That's a person who's wise. Not somebody who goes out saying, oh, well, I know everything. I don't need to listen. That's the biggest fool in this world. Dear friends, be wise. Think about these things. Consider these things and come to the Lord. Whoso trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. This is the word of God. This is the word of truth. We can trust this word. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, oh dear Lord, work in the hearts of each and every one of us. Help us, dear Lord, to see the foolishness of trusting in our own ways, in our own hearts, in following the ways of our hearts. We know that our hearts are sinful. We know that we are fallen human beings. Oh Lord, may we trust instead in the Holy God, who does not lie to us, who does not deceive us, who has told us that there is a day of judgment coming, and that there is heaven or hell to enter into. Oh, dear Lord, may we find our way to heaven. May we choose Christ. May we choose life. May we not be found to be a fool forevermore, but to be found in the presence of our dear Saviour, that we may rejoice in him together forevermore. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.